Somewhere between 50 and 90% of the world's 6,000 languages are in danger of dying out, possibly with the current generation. A new study published in the journal Nature has found that the social status of a language may be the most important factor determining whether it will survive. The unusual thing is that this study, by Danny Abrams and Stephen Strogatz from Cornell University, used math to study language. Judith Smelzer asked lead author Danny Abrams why an applied mathematics PhD candidate was dabbling in the field of linguistics.
I was actually received a fellowship to do interdisciplinary work for my first 2 years, and this project is the result of that fellowship. I was looking for something that I could apply some quantitative techniques to that is normally maybe seen as a field that as a softer science, such as linguistics.
And through working with that that different sort of medium, your study found a new leading cause of language death that hasn't been discussed very much in past studies, and that's the social status of the language. Tell me a little bit about what you mean by that and how it affects a language's ultimate fate.
The status of a language has been recognized before in the linguistics literature as an important factor in determining whether people will continue to speak that language, but it's always been discussed in the sense of case studies or in the sense of kind of a qualitative idea of what makes people want to speak a language. But the difference is, in my study, is I think the first quantitative view of this concept.
And your study found that concept of status to be very important, I know. In fact, you found that nearly every language in decline has a low social status. Now, you did some field research for this report, too, I understand, in South America. What was that like, seeing your numbers and formulas playing out in real life?
I did travel and collect some of my own data for one language, which is Quechua. It's called Quechua. It's the former language of the Incan Empire. It's still spoken by about 10 million people throughout the Andes in South America, the Andes regions. And I experienced firsthand the sad sight of a language that is on the verge of disappearance. Although Quechua is considered one of the most healthy indigenous languages of the Americas, it's the largest, it unfortunately is disappearing very quickly because children and young people are not learning it. They associate it with rural areas and with farmers and with an older lifestyle that they don't want to be a part of. And for that reason, all the adults in many of the cities in Peru and Bolivia and Ecuador can understand Quechua, but their children might not be able to, and it can be as extreme as the children not being able to even communicate with grandparents who are monolingual, grandparents that are monolingual in Quechua, and grandchildren that are monolingual in Spanish.
Did you see evidence in South America of Quechua having a low social status, like your mathematical model would suggest? For example, is it hard for Quechua speakers to get jobs there?
I certainly think that that's a big part of it. The truth is, if a monolingual speaker of Quechua today really does not have any opportunity to at least find work in a city as a monolingual speaker of Quechua, or there's very few opportunities, if there are any. Also, education is difficult to find in Quechua. There are a few programs that have been started recently, but it's difficult to find. And there's very few published books in Quechua, very few TV shows in Quechua. So I think all of these things are indicators and possibly causes of the low prestige of the language.
You suggest in your study that it is possible to prevent a language from dying out. How could this be done?
Well, there are a few examples of cases where a language has begun to decline and it's been slowed or stopped by an active response on the part of a government or groups that want to prevent the loss. One good example is French in Quebec. About 25 years ago, French was dropping fairly quickly in the Quebec region of Canada. But Quebec passed a series of laws that required publications in French whenever something was published in English. They also required education in French, and they paid for advertising to increase the status of French in the sense that it would encourage people to take pride in the French language in Quebec. And this had a good effect. It really did slow down and has now stopped the decline of French in Quebec.
Two examples you give of languages that are under threat are Welsh and Scotch Gaelic, those, of course, being languages that are spoken in the United Kingdom. And there are, I know, radio stations in Wales and in Scotland that broadcast solely in those languages. For example, BBC Radio Cymru in Wales.
Gwyn. Hanner nos ydi wan, nos iau, bora dydd, Gwynedd.
Do you think that's the kind of thing that could help raise the social status of the language and bring it back from the brink of extinction?
I think that's a very good first step. I think one of the common features of this problem is that languages that are dying are often associated with an older world. They're not associated with modern technology and modern occupations. And so when you put a language like Wales or Scotch Gaelic on the radio, at least it sends the message that it is still part of a modern world. And I think it can help increase the status. But of course, it's just one step in a process that really requires a lot of dedication if you really want to stop the decline of a language.
Danny Abrams is a PhD candidate in Cornell University's Department of Theoretical and Applied Mechanics. His study on language death was published in the August 21st issue of Nature.